What is the next thing that we're aiming for? What is coming? There always has to be some sense of forward movement or progression, or else we find ourselves feeling stagnant. And when we don't quite know what is ahead, we may find ourselves not only feeling stagnant, but starting to lose trust, fearing, and ultimately despairing for what we don't know is ahead. In today's gospel reading, Jesus finishes his bread of life discourse, and we, as we hear this, can sense the unrest. The whole time that Jesus has been teaching about himself as the bread of life, the bread come down from heaven, we have heard the confusion, the frustration, and even the disgust of those who are listening. They first asked him what sign he would give them so that they could believe, after Jesus had just performed the multiplication of the bread and the fish. They complained against him, saying that there's no way he could be the bread of life. After all, they knew his mother Mary and his father Joseph. Then last week, those who listened disputed among themselves when Jesus said that the bread he gives for the life of the world is his flesh. They were disgusted that he was asking them to eat of him in order to receive life. But the complaining today that we hear in the gospel reading hits a little closer to home. These are Jesus' disciples, some of his closest followers, those who have been with him, those who have seen his healings, those who have been there to hear his teachings. They've walked with him. They've talked with him. How can they doubt Jesus? All the complaints and the grumbles that we've heard in the scriptures over the last few weeks have something in common. They come from fear and a lack of trust. When the Israelites grumbled about the manna in the wilderness, longing to return to slavery in Egypt, it was because they did not trust God to provide for them in the long haul. The irony of the complaining we hear in the gospel reading about Jesus' teachings from the disciples is that the way that they are responding to Jesus is the way that the Israelites responded to the manna. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't accept it. They couldn't trust in it. And many of Jesus' very followers turned back from following him. For the disciples of Jesus, staying with him was difficult, especially when they heard of his death, when he mentioned his death. Hearing that they were to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood was a foreshadowing also of what was to come. It was too hard for them to comprehend. They didn't want to think about that. It didn't make sense that Jesus, the Messiah, would be put to death. And so many of them turned away in order to avoid that. The truth of the matter is, abiding or remaining with Jesus can be hard. When life is hard and when seasons are hard, the last thing that we want to do is to have to rely on someone we can't physically see or believe in promises that we can't yet fully see come to fruition. Abiding with Jesus is hard if we believe that it's something we have to do ourselves, by ourselves. But abiding isn't about our hard work. Jesus does the work in his followers to grow our faith. When the word is preached and received, it does not return to God empty. We receive God's word and his body and blood each week as pure gift if we but open our hands. Jesus said, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless." We don't have faith because we work really hard. We don't come to believe based on our own understanding, something we just pull out of ourselves. But because of the work that God is doing in each of us. When Jesus says that the flesh is useless, he's not saying anything bad about our bodies. He's not saying that our bodies are useless. Rather, the word flesh here is used to refer to our sinful nature, our sinful selves, the inclination that each of us has towards selfishness. In our sinfulness, we would turn away from God. We would avoid the call to follow Jesus. We would, at all costs, avoid the cross. When we hear readings like we've heard this morning, and I heard it again as I was sitting here, and heard it a little differently, our tendency is to hear what Joshua says about he and his household will follow the Lord, and the Israelites say, yes, we will serve the Lord. And I know Peter came to mind for me as I was sitting here, saying, I would never deny you, Jesus. But we know, in all of these, what we want to do sometimes isn't exactly what we do. We have these two natures bumping up against each other. And sometimes what we say we're going to do, yes, we will serve the Lord. Yes, we won't sin anymore, is not quite what happens. But God's word, the Holy Spirit working in each of us, draws us each and every day to God again and again. Draws us again and again to the very source of life, even when that part of us is fighting back against it. Martin Luther wrote, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Christ in the one common true faith. It is not by our own understanding or strength that we come to trust in Jesus. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we find the trust and the strength to hang on and to be held when times are tough. One thing I haven't yet mentioned is that one of the most beautiful things about the life in Christ is that we are members of his body. We don't walk this journey alone. When we abide or remain or rest in Jesus, we do so as the church, as a whole. That means that we are members of the body united, one to another. Christ draws us to himself, and we are drawn together. This doesn't mean that we are always going to see eye to eye on everything, but on the essentials, on the things that matter most, we seek to remain together. We might often find ourselves grumbling about this thing or that thing in the world, and yes, even in the church. Especially in an election season, we can find that disunity and disagreement is even more pronounced. Jesus didn't call us to unity in order to downplay our differences, but rather to highlight the strength that we have as the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head. That is what the world needs to see. The body of Christ together, even in our differences, sharing the gospel, showing just who Jesus is, and reminding the world of Jesus's love for them and the abundant life that he so freely offers to all. When Jesus asked the disciples if they also wished to go away from him, Peter responded, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. As we hear the scriptures, the word preached, as we receive Christ's presence in this bread and in this wine each week, as we go out and serve our neighbors in Jesus' name, we are continually drawn to the source of all life, Jesus himself. We may not always know the details of what is ahead. We certainly don't always fully see the fullness of God's kingdom here and now, not quite yet. We may find ourselves asking, where am I going? Where are we going as the church, as the world? We can trust by the power of the Spirit in us that God is indeed at work and that he is always doing the work of drawing us closer to him and closer to one another in the body. We merely open our hands in faith to receive him. Amen.